Take your Bible and turn to Jude, the book of Jude. And let's stand, please, as we honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Turn to Jude, and we'll start with verse 17. Jude, verse 17. If I say this, you finish, especially if you're my age or older, and just be honest and tell me the next word. Let's make a deal. I knew that's what a lot of y'all would say. The title of the sermon this morning is Let's Make a Difference. Okay, let's not make a deal. Let's make a difference. That's the title of the sermon this morning. The Bible says in Jude verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Whatever that means, I want to make sure I do it. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time. Thank you for these people. Lord, I do consider myself blessed more than any man I know. God, you've been good to me. And I think all of us could say that this morning. You've been good to us. And Father, I pray now that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to do what I can't. I pray I'd be your vessel. I know I'm unworthy. I know, Father, in the last day or two, my mind has been bombarded. And I pray now that you'd help clear away the things that would be a distraction and just use me and let me be your voice. God, I pray you'd do the preaching and that I'd stay out of the way, and I pray you'd help your people. I ask it for your glory and because you're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. You ever hear somebody say, well, what difference does it make? And then I've heard somebody say, well, all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. And somebody will get discouraged and sort of pouting and say, well, it makes no difference. Makes no difference. Whether I do this or do that, it doesn't make any difference. Have you ever considered how different our country is than it was 50 years ago? Somebody made a difference. For the worse. Somebody made a difference. You know, the homosexuals have made a difference in our country. Boy, have they made a difference. The atheists and the agnostics have made a difference. You ever stop to consider how much one person, Madeline Murray O'Hare, how much difference she made? How many of you know that name? Let me see hands. Boy, she wanted just to get rid of Christianity in every shape, form, or fashion, off the TV, off the radio, out of everywhere. Just one atheist that just got it in her heart that she was going to change things. She made a difference. How about the socialist liberals in our country? Man, have they made a difference. And a lot of people in our country now are making a difference. And if you notice that a lot of the people who are really in the minority are making a difference. Well, I'd be willing to say that the homosexual crowd is probably less than 5% of the population of this country. But man, they're making a difference. A scary difference. But they are making a difference. But not for Christ. Not for Christ. My mother used to say something quite often. She'd say, for heaven's sake. Y'all ever heard that phrase? I'd like to ask you tonight or this morning, how much difference are you making for heaven's sake? For Christ's sake. for the sake of the gospel. Unless you think I'm beating you up this morning, I want you to know you are making a difference. Oh, it's unbelievable everywhere I go. I'm in Lebanon, Ohio this past week, and the people who came to that church who heard our preaching on the radio that you put out there. It's unbelievable how many missionaries I meet in other churches that have heard about Cornerstone, and even people I don't even know say, your church sent this and your church did that. And I'll go to meetings and they'll ask me about you. I stayed in his home and I stayed in her home and I stayed in this person's home. You are making a difference. Don't let me discourage you this morning. I want to encourage you that we can make a difference, and we are making a difference. And I thank God for that. But my question maybe this morning is to ask you individually, how much difference are you making? And I want us to make a difference. And probably before the day's over, and maybe tonight I'll carry this message into tonight and talk about how much difference we can make as a church that maybe we're not. Maybe there's a lot of things we hadn't even thought about doing that God would have us to do. You know, our church started in 1991 because a small group of people didn't want to be status quo Christians. And we've discovered there's a whole lot more to church than just going to Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and listening to the preacher, haven't we? And we've got ministries all around this world. We've got a church named after us in Australia because the man out of this church is over there doing a work for God. We've got a man in New Guinea, and Brother Aaron spent years in the Dominican. And we've got a fellow, I talked to Brother Starr up in Stoneham, Massachusetts. And we've got Brother Andy up there in Indiana, and Brother Bob Schoolfield's over there in McMinnville. And the ministries that God's allowed us to touch, to have some part in. And many of you now personally pray for missionaries every day. And you know them personally, and they stay in your home, and you think a lot of them. And you learned a long time ago, some of you did, that there's a lot more to church than just going and listening to a preacher, that if you get involved, you can really make a difference all around the world. But I'm just going to ask you this morning, how much difference are you making? Jude, in this passage, gives a description of people in the last day. I'm not going to take the time to look each one of these up, but in verses 11, 12, and 13, he says they're greedy, they're gluttons, and they're godless. We're talking about the last days. He said people are greedy, and they're gluttons, and they're godless. I preached the message up there, idolatry in the dining room. Boy, that never does go over very well. And if you study verses 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, he describes people, listen, in the last days. We're living in the last days. And his description of those people is they're fortune seekers, they're fearless, they're fakers, they're fat, they're flatterers, and they're fruitless. That's the description of people in the last days. Fortune seekers. They're fearless. Have you noticed that now people just don't care what they say to you or to anybody about God, the Bible, or Jesus. This world doesn't fear God anymore. I mean, when I was growing up, hellbound sinners feared God. They wouldn't cuss around a woman or a child. Man, it wasn't long ago. I've still got some of that old man in me. I'm telling you, I was in Verizon and I was talking, and all of a sudden there's a little old lady. She's got a cane in her hand, and she steps up to the counter, and some man there about 40 years old started cussing her out because she got in front of him. Amy was with me. Amy was about, I don't know, 16, 17 at the time. I stood there, man, I was fuming. The steam was rising. And I finally just had to step in between them, and I said, sir, that's my daughter right there. Would you watch your mouth? You say, Brother Ron, you're a preacher. He might have wanted to fight. I wanted to fight. Man, my drunk daddy wouldn't do that. My daddy was a drunkard. He wouldn't do things in front of women and children that now Christians, so-called Christians, do. There's no fear of God in this world. And then you come to verse 20. He describes the world and people in the last days as greedy, gluttons, godless, fortune seekers, fearless, fakers, fat, flatterers, fruitless. Then verse 20, But ye, beloved. See, you're different. You're supposed to be different. You're not supposed to be like this world. We're to be different. And the good news, saints, is from verse 22 and 23 that even in this last days, even in this Laodicean church age, please get a hold of this. Think about this with me this morning. Even when it's dark and even when the world is going to hell in a handbasket, basket, and our world is changing rapidly and things are just going south. Listen to me. You can still make a difference. And that's what the message of Jude is about, making a difference. In essence, you and I are the difference that make the difference in this world. The old preacher said, until Christ has made a difference in you, you can't make a difference in anybody else. If you're saved this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Then you're the difference that makes the difference in this world. And the message of Jude is, in these last days, in this messed up, crazy world, you and I can make a difference. I'm saddened by churches that I go into all the time now that have just accepted mediocrity. There's an attitude among Christians and preachers even and missionaries. Well, it's a lad to see in church age. What can you do? A lot. You can do a lot. You know what Jesus said over there in Luke 21? He's describing the terror of the last days. And he's talking about how bad it's going to get. And then he said this, it shall turn to you for a testimony. He said, hey, when it gets real bad, it'll be easy for you to be a good light in a dark world. That the worse things get, the better you shine. And people will want what you've got. It's been said that people ought to turn obstacles into opportunities. And I believe that. The Bible says over there in Hosea 2:15 that God's going to take the Valley of Achor and make it a door of hope for the children of Israel. The Valley of Achor was the darkest day in the history of Israel. It's when Achan stole the accursed thing. They burned them, stoned them, killed them. It was one of the darkest valleys. It's called the Valley of Achor. And God says, I'm going to take that valley and turn it into a door of hope. Church, we're living in an economic valley. We're living in a moral valley. We're living in a political valley. We're living in a spiritual valley. But God says, I'll take your valley and I'll let you be a door of hope for a dark world and a lost world and a hurting world. And if you'll live for me and honor me, I'll make you the difference that makes the difference. I want Cornerstone to make a difference in Smith County. I want Cornerstone to make a difference in the state and in the country and literally in the world. In trying times and in troubling times, we can make a difference. But I want to be fair to the text before I preach the message. In verse 20, but ye, we are the difference. But then verse 22, because I want to be fair to the text, I want you to see this. He says, and of some have compassion. Now watch this. Making a difference, colon, and others save with fear. What the writer of Jude is really saying, what he's really teaching us here is the phrase making a difference actually points to us differentiating people and exercising discernment. I call it discriminant discernment and knowing that you got to treat some people differently to reach them. When he's talking about making a difference here, he's saying you got to make a difference between those that need compassion and those that need compelling. Those that need compassion and those that need fear. Some people need the fear of hell to scare them to getting saved. Some people need the cross of Calvary and the compassion to get them to want to be saved. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Have you not found out that your children are that way? That some of them you can just go, hey! And that's all it takes. And some of them a telephone pole won't get their attention. Have you figured that out? And you know what? You know what Jude is saying? He's saying you've got to have some discernment to know what it takes. You know what most independent King James Fundamental Bible believing Baptists think, don't you? They think everybody needs a steamroller. And man, they're just going to plow over everybody with the truth and beat them over the head with the Bible and tell them, get saved. That doesn't work for everybody. Some you got to use compassion. Some you got to use fear. And so Jude is saying you got to figure out how to help different people. So to be fair to the text before I preach the message, in verse 20 he's saying we are the difference. Verse 22 and 23, we're to see the difference. And then in verse 22 and 23, we're to make a difference. So we are the difference that makes the difference. Now in the last days, what's it going to take to make the difference? That's what I want to talk to you about today. First of all, it's going to take some spiritual drills. You have basketball drills, don't you? You have weightlifting drills. We could call this exercise, but he says in verse 20, I want you to get this, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. You got to do some exercise if you're going to make a difference. Especially in the area of prayer. He says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So in verse 20 he says, build up yourselves. Look what he says in verse 21. Keep yourselves. He says, build up yourselves. And he says, keep yourselves. Girls, this is real important. Okay? This is important enough to pay attention to. Because let me tell you what's going to happen at the end of the message, since people are struggling today. Let me just tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you what's going to keep you from making a difference, and you're going to get out of church, and you're going to get out of the will of God. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to cause that in your life. Did you know that about 80% of every person in this country from 18 to 25 gets out of church? Because it's what happens before they turn 18. And by the time they get their chance to get out, they get out. That's sad, isn't it? I'd hate to think that if I was in that age bracket right now from 16 to 18, that the odds are so stacked against me that from 18 to 25, 80% of those people get out of church now in this country. That's scary to me. I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want that to happen to my children. I don't want that to happen to my grandchildren. Amen. So the Bible is abundantly clear. We've got to build up ourselves and we've got to keep ourselves. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Keep your finger in Jude, please. Hebrews chapter 5. In one sense, we could say it all depends on God. But let me tell you something. According to Jude, it all depends on you. You want to make a difference? It depends on you. You've got to keep yourself. You've got to build up yourself. Now the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now watch this, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their what? Senses what? Exercise. To what? Discern both good and evil. Did you know you have to exercise your spiritual senses? Or you'll be a babe after you've been saved for 20 years. How many of you have ever had the Holy Spirit tell you to go visit somebody? And you quenched it? That's not exercising your faith. That's hurting your faith. You ever had the Holy Spirit deal with you about things and you just put it off and put it off? But what's happening? You're not exercising. It's sort of like laying there with a big bowl of popcorn or laying there with a big old pizza and watching a ball game on Saturday thinking of all the things you should do. You ever done that? You're not exercising. And you know what happens? The flesh starts stacking up against you. Literally. No pun intended. Y'all getting this? Why? Because you're not exercising your spiritual senses, your wisdom, your mind. You know the things that you need to do. But what you do is you feed the flesh instead of feeding the soul. And eventually, the old man's going to beat the new man. And so the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 5, you've got to do some exercise and you've got to build up yourselves. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We've got to build ourselves spiritually. Patrick's been home from Germany for what, a month? Now, I don't want to embarrass him, but me and him's done this for 5, 6, 7 years now. So I go up to him this morning and I start talking to him. He doesn't know what's coming. I'm fixing to sort of take a dagger and stick it in the backside. Right about here, under the fifth rib somewhere. Where's that at? And I said, how's things going? Yeah, it's going good. How about the job? Working a lot of hours? Yeah, working a lot of hours. And got you a vehicle yet? No. Are you going to get one? No, I'm trying to save money. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, I worked yesterday and we started talking. I said, well, you reading your Bible? That just come out of left field, didn't it, Patrick? And I'm not going to tell you what he said. And I asked him, well, how's your prayer life? Because he knows. I've talked to Colin and Connor and Paul and James and Patrick and all these young men that say to me, I'm going to talk to you. I tell them all the time, you got to build up your spiritual man. And what happens, you get their age and, boy, jobs are coming and you want some money and you need some money. And, boy, Patrick's got to save some money. He's wanting to get married. But you know what will happen, don't you? If we're not careful, same thing happens to all of us. we exercise the certain things and let the other things get weak. Do we not? All of us. We're all guilty. And so you got to build up yourself. I can't build you up. Hey, listen, you know what this is like when you come to church to hear me preach? It's like a guy that's never lifted weight trying to bench press about 300 pounds. See, if you don't work out before you get to the 250, 300 pounds, you're not going to start out right there. And when you come to church, hey, it's what you do between church that makes the difference. You got to build up yourself. It's not up to me. It's not up to God. It's not up to the Holy Spirit. It's up to you to build yourself according to the Bible. Okay? So that's spiritual drills. I'm talking about what it'll take for you to make a difference. Let's go back to Jude. It'll take some spiritual discipline. It'll take some spiritual discipline. It takes spiritual drills and it takes spiritual discipline. Here it is in Jude, verse 21. Keep yourselves. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now the idea here is that there are people and things that will help you stay in the love of God, and there are people and things that will hinder you from staying in the love of God. Right? You got to keep yourself. What does that mean? You got to guard yourself. Because what will happen is if you don't keep or guard yourself, your love for God will get weak. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Jesus told the church of Ephesus, you've left your first love. You've left your first love. So Paul says, you got to have some spiritual drills. You got to exercise. You got to build up yourself. Then he said, spiritual discipline. You got to keep yourself. Listen, I preached up there in Ohio to about 30 preachers. I didn't know I was going to be doing that when I got up there. But he said, hey, there's a preacher's fellowship tomorrow. Will you preach at it? I preached that passage I preached here a couple of weeks ago from 2 Chronicles where David said God liked me. And I took them through all the principles of the Bible that God likes. And I said, I try to do those things because God, I want God to like me. The Bible says keep yourselves in the love of God. Now that may mean guard yourself so that you'll love God. Or it may mean guard yourself so that God will have His... You want God to smile upon you? You want God's favor on your life? Young people, listen to me. You ought to want God's favor on your life. You ought to want the blessings of God. You ought to want to be like Job. The Bible says God put a hedge around Job. I'd like a hedge around me. So what's my job? To keep myself, to guard myself from those people and those things that will cause me to drift from loving God or drift from a place where God's love will be on me or God's favor will be on me. I have to practice some spiritual drills and some spiritual discipline or my love for God will get weak. Folks, our decisions and our choices can work against us. And eventually our love for God will wax cold. Some of you won't like this, but I'm trying to help you. I can walk around this congregation this morning and I can predict some of the people that's going to be cold on God in the next year or two. I can point them out because I watch what happens. There are plenty of adults in here that tell you the same thing. We come in here and we watch people and we don't just see them at church. We see them out in the community. We see them at places they shouldn't be, doing things they shouldn't be doing. And I'm telling you right now, I'm trying to tell you how you can make a difference for heaven's sake. Who wants to make a difference for hell's sake? It's one or the other. We're either going to make a difference for God or against God. It's a difference for Him or against Him. I don't want the devil to use me to discourage somebody else from living for God. That's why the whole world says, that's just a bunch of hypocrites down there. Because we're not real. And listen, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that if you hang around certain people and if you do certain things, what's going to happen is you're just going to slowly get cold on God. That's why I don't have a television. I would get carnal. Some of you can handle it, perhaps. I don't know for sure about that. But I know I can't. Now, I wish you could have been with me yesterday. I got in about 2 o'clock Saturday morning. Got me a little sleep. Got up, I think, around 7:30. And I didn't slow down until about 2 o'clock this morning. But if I'd had a TV, none of that would have probably got done. And I'd have probably been one of them preachers this morning just believed you get up and open your mouth and God will fill it. And sure enough, you'd have figured that out. Amen. Man alive, not to pour over the Word of God and try to get the right meal for the church this morning. Make sure I give you the feast from God. That's what I want to do. I want to make a difference for you. And I got news for you. If I'd have spent all the time, I wonder if Paul the Apostle would have got as much done as he did had he had a television. Now, don't misunderstand. This is not about television. It's about the things in your life that are going to cause you to not love God. The Bible says in Matthew 24, the love of many shall wax cold. If I spend a lot of time in front of the television, if I spend a lot of time playing video games, I spend a lot of time on YouTube, I spend a lot of time on Facebook or Pinterest or whatever that stuff is nowadays, if I did that, I know what would happen to me. It would eat my lunch. And I'd say, hey, I'm just going to take 15 minutes here. And 2 hours later, I'd go, whoa, I can't believe it's that late. And my love for God would wax cold. Listen, I love my wife. But you know what? That has to be nurtured too. Especially after 35 years. Right? See, it comes easy to her. I know that, but I got to work at it. I mean, I was up there preaching. There was an 80-year-old man. 80 years old. Been preaching for like 80 years. And we talked for a long time about all kinds of things. And man, he was honest. I really appreciated him. And we were talking about how that marriage, you have to work at it. And he said, even still, he said, I do things for my wife. He said that David Gibbs, the guy that started CLA, Christian Law Association, he's got a sermon on 60 things he prays for his wife every day. Some of you don't even pray for your wife every day. Listen, that stuff has to be nurtured. It has to be you have to keep that thing flame, don't you? I mean, you have to keep that flame burning. You have to work at it. You can get cold on God. And if I did some of the things and do some of the things some people, I'd get cold on God. And I'm fearful that we won't make a difference because we get cold on God. I hope you'll be patient with me this morning. I want God to smile on me. And then the Bible says here in verse 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Look at this. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I'm going to tell you something right now. The way you keep yourself will determine how much mercy God shows on you. And when I get out there in trouble, I want the mercy of God to show up. But my decisions today and my actions today and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, as we go down this life and things start getting worse and worse and worse, the decisions and the actions of my life will determine the mercy of God on my life. The Bible says if you show mercy, God will show you mercy. You want to make a difference? Number one, spiritual drills. Number two, spiritual discipline. Number three, spiritual discernment. We've already touched on this just a little bit in verse 22 and verse 23. He says some people need compassion and some need compelling. He says, and I know it sounds harsh, some people have to be led, some people have to be driven. And that's just the way it is. And what sounds harsh is some people just have to be left. You know the hardest thing I've had to learn as a pastor? One of the hardest things I've had to learn, because I've been around some real, real soft, too soft of a pastor spirit. I've been around the real hard and the harsh kind. And I've heard pastors get up, and Brother Aaron, some of these missionaries have heard this, a preacher will get up and talk about somebody leaving the church, and they'll say, good riddance, better off without them. I've never been able to feel that way. I don't want anybody to leave. But I've never understood why some stick around. You know what God's had to teach me? It's better for some people to leave. If you're not on board, all you want to do is stir up trouble, go somewhere where you can make a difference for Christ's sake instead of for the devil. Because when you undermine the local church and you hurt the local church and you cause trouble in the local church, you ain't doing anything for God's sake. I'll never understand why people enjoy that. Just stirring things up. And God had to teach me it's better for some people to leave. God had to give me the discernment to understand that. I'm always convinced somebody's going to get right. There are some people, you can watch them for 20 years, and they stir up trouble for 20 years. So I've said this since 1991, for whatever this is worth to anybody in here. If you ain't happy here, go somewhere where you can be happy. All you want to do is cause trouble, go somewhere else where you don't have to cause trouble. Say, well, the reason I'm calling trouble is because I don't like what you and I don't like what... Well, go somewhere where they got the perfect preacher. So you can be perfect with them. Amen. I don't want anybody to leave. But I want you to go somewhere where you can make a difference for God. Not the devil. That's Bible. It's just the way it is. Jesus said, they weren't with us from the beginning. Paul said the same thing. There just comes a time where it's best to part ways without criticizing each other. Man, I was preaching all them preachers, and I told them, I said, I'm sick and tired of Baptist preachers. There's a preacher preached before me, and then I preached last. He got up and started his message by saying, man, I love to preach to preachers. He said, I love preachers. I got up and said, man, I hate to preach to preachers because I hate preachers. That's what I told him. I said, the most wicked people I ever met were in a Baptist church. And some of them were preachers. That's what I told him. I don't understand why some people just want to bash everybody. So I told every one of those preachers, you don't have to agree with me. I don't have to agree with you. But I don't have to tear you down, and you don't have to tear me down. You saved, you want to do something different than I do, go do it. And I'm not going to try to tear you apart. Baptists love to tear each other down. And some church members just love to tear each other down. And if I couldn't go where I could build somebody up, I'd go somewhere else. Amen. Is that okay? Everybody okay? Been preaching this since 1991. It hadn't changed. It's still Bible. Amen. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I'm said if we're going to make a difference, it's going to take spiritual drills. It's going to take spiritual discipline. It's going to take spiritual discernment. And none of that will be possible if there's not a spiritual desire. You got to have a desire to make a difference for the glory of God. You got to have a desire to make a difference for Christ's sake. You got to have a desire to make a difference not for me, not for you, not for our glory, not for my name's sake, but for His name's sake. You got to have a desire. Ultimately, we ought to desire to make a difference for God's glory. And if we want to make a difference for God's glory, what we'll do is make a difference in other people's lives. Romans 5:10 says, you and I used to be enemies to God. But now we've been reconciled to God, brought back to harmony. And 2 Corinthians 5 says, because we are now reconciled to God, we're supposed to go out and reconcile others. You see, when God saved me, He had a purpose in mind to help me go out and help others. Some of you can help people I can't help. The Bible says a true witness delivereth souls. So we know the way it's supposed to work. I got saved. Ron Ralph died. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I got saved. The old man died. Now I'm not my own. I belong to God. He bought me. He purchased me with the blood of Jesus Christ. And now He's the owner. And He's the president. He's the resident. He's taken up residence. He controls my life. And now my job is not to please Ron Ralph, but to please Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I told you before we started, I wasn't for sure what kind of spirit that was in here this morning. Boy, I'm beginning to figure it out. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Paul the Apostle says, the Lord give mercy. That's what he said in Jude. He said, we'll look for the mercy of God. He said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligent. He sought me out very diligent and found me. Watch this. The Lord granted him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. He said, this guy sought me out. What if every family in this church this morning sought out another family to minister to in 2014? A family that's out of church? A family that's maybe not familiar with church, Christianity, Jesus Christ? Maybe they are, but they're just out of church. A family that it doesn't seem like has anybody showing any interest in them. They're just going through the motion. You realize how many families are just existing? What if every one of you decided to seek out someone very diligently and minister to them with no ulterior motive? I preached that message up there that I preach here on magnitude of ministry, where we're just supposed to go out there and minister to people with no ulterior motive. Not so that we'll get glory, and maybe they won't even come to our church, but we're still supposed to be a blessing. I preached the magnitude of ministry, and here's what I told that church up there in Lebanon, Ohio. I said, I got a church of people. People ask me, how did your church get to giving that money to missions? How did your church grow to 200 people? How did your church? And I said, I got people in my church that practice what I preach better than I do. You build the church. That's Ephesians chapter 4, by the way. My job is to perfect the saints. The saints go out and do the work of the ministry. Let me tell you something. My wife is better at ministering to people than I am. I thank God for her. Some of you, listen. Brother Charles, there's people that you can help and minister to that I'll never get to know. Travis, you need to make a difference for somebody that I don't even know. You see people every day that I'll never see. Brother Mark, you and Melissa have connections I don't have. I just don't have them. The Fikes, Beth Page, Castalian Springs, some of that area over there, they get to talk to people, drive by their houses, I don't know them. Brother Gary comes in contact with people that I'll never get to talk to. Brother David and Miss Lori, they've got connections I'll never have. Brother Terry, I was talking about you the other day. I was talking about Brother Terry being such a good mechanic. And I said, the thing that amazed me about Brother Terry is he can stand over an engine for 6 hours and still laugh and cut up and have a good time. Well, guess what? You can reach people I can't reach, brother. I mean that with all my heart. There are people that you can make a difference in their lives that I can't make a difference in their lives. Brother Roy Key is not, I don't know if I've ever asked anybody, you know Roy Key? Bubba! No, Roy Key. I don't know if I've ever met anybody that doesn't know Roy Key. Sad to say it, but it's true. Brother Roy, when you get up tomorrow morning, you need to pray, God, I want to make a difference in somebody's life today. Brother Kirk, you meet people I don't ever meet. The Shady family's coming. I mean, they're almost in Cookeville. I tell you, I appreciate people that drive an hour to get church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They make a difference. Dillons, y'all are in Lafayette. Sparta. Brother Matt's job. Brother Marty's job. They come in contact with people I'll never see them. I'll never talk to them. I mean, how long's the list in here? Brother Allen, Miss Donna. Brother Connie. Brother John. My goodness. Gaylord Enterprises. The people that he rubs shoulders with that I'll never talk to. Are you getting up tomorrow and asking God if you can make a difference?
Right. That's good. Amen. Help us, Lord.
I've never, ever wanted. My goal, I told this pastor this, and some people can't believe this. My goal has never been growth. I've been pastoring since 1979, almost 35 years. And never once was my goal growth, even at that age. I had pastors say to me in seminary, well, I'd like to get a church of about 50 to 100, and then the next church, I'd like for it to be about this, and then the next church, and they want to climb that ecclesiastical ladder. My goal is faithfulness. And if we'll be faithful, God will give the increase. I'm not interested in growth. I'm not. But I wonder how much growth there would be if every one of us just started looking for people to minister to and say, God, I want to make a difference. Not for here, not for now. Yes, that too, but ultimately for eternity. And man, when Brother Dale got in, he got in. If I've ever met a man that got saved and I didn't even have to question, I don't care to tell you, I've led people to the Lord, talked to people about the Lord, they'll get saved and I'm wondering, man, I wonder if this is real. I've never asked that about you, Brother Dale. I've never once wondered, was it real? Man, it was real. Parker, all my soul at the people that you can make a difference for. Cameron, Brandon, Josh, unbelievable. You young people, y'all, man, right now make a difference. Don't wait until you're in your 40s and look back with all these regrets. My, my, my. I could just call every one of your names out this morning. Man, Sean got up and gave a testimony the other night. I don't believe you was here. You missed it. Man, it was good. That was a great testimony. And Sean, I tried to call you the next day. I've been praying for you since you stood up, because you stood up and made a bold statement. A bold statement. And Sean, I'm going to tell you something. You can make a difference with people that I'll never get to talk to. There's people that listen to you that won't give me the time of day. Man, since Clayton's gotten serious, him and Megan, my soul, the young couples, y'all can make a difference for. If you'll just look for opportunities, invite them over to your house. And use wisdom. See, you gotta be able to make a difference on how you're going to use. Are you going to use compassion? Are you going to use fear? And you invite a young couple over to your house that doesn't go to church anywhere, don't even talk to them about church. Don't even talk to them about the Lord. And wait till they bring it up. What if we started cultivating interest in people again like they used to? You realize unsaved people used to care more about people than saved people do now? Unsaved people used to care more about people than saved people do now. Greg and Renee, the difference y'all can make in people's lives, I'll never get to talk to. Some of you are in the school system. Some of you work in factories. Some of you work in Nashville, Brentwood. Some of you live in Cookeville and Sparta and Gallatin and Bethpage and Castalion Springs. James and Caleb back there on the back. The difference you can make that I can't make. What I'm saying to you is, according to the Bible, we're living in the last days, and we ought to have a heart's desire to make a difference for God. And you can do it. You can make a difference that is bigger than Smith County, bigger than Tennessee, bigger than America, bigger than the world. It's an eternal difference. I'm not talking about... I realize some of you, every day, you affect somebody's life. I know that. But I'm talking about going the second mile. I'm talking about going out of your way. I'm talking about beyond the normal duty. Determine tomorrow morning when you get up, I'm going to look for an opportunity to make a difference. And by the way, in 2 Timothy here, if you noticed, I don't know if you noticed or not, but he said, Lord, have mercy on Onesiphorus there. You know what Paul's doing? Onesiphorus went and he prayed, or he ministered to Paul, and then Paul was praying for him. How would you like to have Paul praying for you? Wouldn't that be something? Tom, I was thinking the other day of Danny Hall. You know who Danny Hall was, don't you? Wasn't Danny Hall a blessing? How many of y'all remember his testimony? I mean, that guy lived... I thought I grew up poor. I was a multi-millionaire next to Danny Hall. He grew up just a mess. But Tom, tomorrow, you just might meet the next Danny Hall. Did it ever occur to you that the people we turn our nose up at and don't want to fool with could be the next Danny Hall? Brother Steve Ackley, tomorrow you may talk to the next Bobby Cox. They'll go into prisons and tell people about Jesus. Miss Laura, you may talk to the next Miss Deedee. Boy, Miss Deedee's a go-getter. She ain't slowed down one bit since Brother Danny went to heaven. What's it going to take to make a difference? It's going to take some spiritual drills, some spiritual discipline, some spiritual discernment, some spiritual desires. I don't know why it's going this way, but I'm not going to finish this message this morning. But I'd like you to turn to Acts 18 and I'll close. We'll finish it tonight. I'm not worried about the time. I'm just trying to make sure I obey the Lord. We don't worry about the time around here too much. Look at Acts 18. I started to take you to Acts 9 and remind you of Dorcas. You remember when Dorcas died? Peter raised her from the dead. All them widows showed up at Dorcas's door. She had made a difference in their lives. My wife does things for people, and I know sometimes she probably feels like she doesn't do anything. Man, my wife makes a difference in people's lives. Ladies, just a 30-minute visit to some widow or widower or the nursing home, you can make a difference. It's unbelievable what kind of difference you can make. But the Bible says over here in Acts 18, if you'll follow with me for just a few minutes, we'll wrap this thing up. Acts 18, verse 1. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and come unto them. Came unto them, this is Aquila and Priscilla, verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were what? Tent makers. Well, look at chapter 18, verse 24. This is Aquila and Priscilla. Look at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and talked diligently the things of the Lord. But watch this. Knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Tent makers, not missionaries. Tent makers. Hey, we'd like to have you over to our house tomorrow. I bet they used some discernment. I bet they didn't say, now you sit down, we're going to straighten you out on your doctrine. Right? They used some wisdom and said, hey, we'd like for you to come over. Now, we might have a Bible study, if you don't mind, for just a few minutes, but would you just come over? And, you know, you wouldn't believe the times people have been in my house, me and Rhonda and the kids at my house, and somebody come over and they'll get ready to leave. So we're going to leave now. And they'll get up and walk out. And I said, wait a minute. Could we pray before you go? Man, that's a good thing to do. Just pray. And pray for them and ask God to bless them. Amen. And act like it was a huge blessing for them to come to your house, whether it was or not. Amen. These are tent makers, Aquila and Priscilla. Look at Romans 16. Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, tent makers, my helpers in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop right here, and some of you are going to misunderstand this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Here's what I tell places I go. I tell them, God called me to preach, teach this book, and He just gave me a bunch of people that got on the bandwagon with me. Somebody's got to lead. That doesn't mean I can't minister. I'm supposed to minister too. But my point is this. We're living in a day where everybody says, well, you're just following a man. Everybody follows a man. You just got to decide which one you're going to follow. And man, these people say, man, Paul's doing something for God. Let's help him. Amen. Bible says in verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. He said, man alive, these people are making a difference. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll close. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 9, this is Paul getting ready to die. Paul's getting ready to go to heaven. He's about to face the guillotine. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9, he says to Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He says, for Demas has forsaken me. Man, I'd hate to have that written about me by Paul the Apostle. He said in verse 11, only Luke is with me. He said, take Mark. Verse 12, Tychicus. Verse 13, I'd like to have the cloak. Verse 14, how would you like to have this? Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his words. Paul's last words. Verse 19. Salute Prissa and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Some people that made a difference in Paul's life. How many of you have ever been driving through a town or something and you missed the green light because you wouldn't pay attention, and all of a sudden you realize it's yellow, fix it to turn red, and you hit your brakes and squeal to a stop and think, man, I wish I'd have been paying attention. How many of you ever had that happen to you? Because you missed the green light. Ugh, I wish I hadn't missed that. I wonder how many opportunities we've missed to make a difference. I want to ask you to consider this morning and maybe get in this altar and start afresh and anew saying on a daily basis, God, help me to make a difference. For Your glory, not mine, not even the church's. God, for Your glory, I want to make a difference. Would you stand with me? We bow for prayer, please.